Our scripture passage this morning comes from the first 18 verses of the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Listen and receive the word of God. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell down upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how God had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Then God gave them the same gift that God gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock, you are our Redeemer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Some years ago, a famous novelist died. Found among his papers was a list of suggested plots for future stories, the most prominently underscored being this one. A widely separated family inherits a house in which they have to live together. This is the great problem of mankind, of humankind. We have inherited a large house, a great world house, in which we have to live together. Black and white, Easterner and foreigner, Gentile and Jew, Catholic and Protestant, Muslim and Hindu, a family unduly separated in ideas, culture, and interest, who, because we can never again live apart, must learn somehow to live with each other in peace. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. penned those words in Chapter 6 of Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community, in 1967. And it's almost 50 years later, and we have not learned to live faithfully in harmony and fidelity in God's great world house. We are still looking at one another as the other, thinking the other less than, not connected spiritually or in any other way, not of the same family, the family of God. We hear the division and contempt for the other espoused daily in political ads and interviews, and in the ugly, violent behavior exhibited at some campaign rallies. In the refusal of the federal legislators to do their job in an attempt to sabotage the record of the president. The callous way people with limited incomes are often relegated to live in communities where they experience failing schools and few resources. And in the senseless acts of violence, we hear with the dawning of every new day, people taking the other's life as if it has no value. Will we ever recognize that we are all the other endued with the Spirit of God? Peter came to this realization quite dramatically when the Jewish followers in Jerusalem questioned Peter about his behavior, you know, cavorting with uncircumcised Gentiles, those who didn't follow the Jewish tradition, the others presumed to be outside the circle of this new sect. Those questioning Peter were reviled by his behavior, eating at the table of non-Jews, eating meat that was not ceremonially clean. But thanks be to God, Peter had become a wiser adherent and follower of the resurrected Christ. For rather than harshly responding or jumping off the handle, Peter simply states the facts of his life-changing rooftop experience while communing with God. Peter repeats almost verbatim what had occurred during his stay at Simon the Tanner's home, how the Spirit of God came to him in a vision and revealed that what God had made clean must not be profaned, and about the same time how men sent by Cornelius, a devout, faithful, and generous Roman officer, arrived and summoned Peter to accompany them. Worlds of the other are about to collide as Peter accompanies the men to Cornelius' home and, after breaking bread with them, begins to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his entire household. God has given them the same gift that God gave to us when we believed in Jesus Christ, Peter says. God's revelation to Peter becomes real in an undeniable way, and he states, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." We have all experienced partiality in being considered the other. Native Americans, the indigenous inhabitants of this land, considered the other by new settlers, brutally killed, land stolen from them, still suffering the consequences of that subjugation and theft today. People of African American descent brought to this country as slaves, considered uneducated animals, property, the other to be exploited and misused, and still suffering the consequences of discrimination and neo-racism today. People who are LGBTQ, considered by some as unloved by God, still fighting for equality and the right to be recognized as part of the family of God. The list is exhaustive. We could go on and on, but unfortunately, we don't have that much time today. Brothers and sisters, if the church in Acts had closed its doors to the Gentiles, Christianity would have remained a sect within Judaism and would not have gone out into all the nations as commanded by Christ. And so we are left today to ponder, if God shows no partiality, if in Christ Jesus there is no Jew or Gentile, no male or female, no rich or poor, if God sees no one as the other, why do we? If God so loved the world that Jesus came not to condemn the world but to save it, why do we place limits and qualifiers on the mission of God to redeem all of humanity? Every time we exclude someone from full participation in the redemptive work of God, shouldn't our souls be troubled? Beloved, like Peter, we are called to lift our voices, sometimes forcefully, but always in love, to squarely face the critics, to confront conflict, injustice, and separation with facts that transform and enliven. To tell the stories that make real the love God has for all of God's people. Just as we welcome new members and friends into fellowship today, we will soon ordain and install new elders and deacons. The doors of the church swing open wide and welcomes in the other into a place where God sometimes takes our extraordinary talents, such as Cody's, but more often our ordinary, and does the extraordinary. The doors of the church also swing open to send us out into the world to share the stories of how those who traditionally have not had a seat at the table, those who have been harmed or wounded by religion, those characterized as the other, know they too are loved, welcomed, and filled with the Spirit of God. They are a member of the family. When it comes down to it, our faith, the things that we believe, are often our breathless attempts to keep up with the redemptive activity of God, to keep asking ourselves, what is God doing? Where on earth is God going now? It took Peter 3 times to understand that God was doing a new thing. To no longer be tied to religious tradition and nationalism. To realize that he and we are all new creations in Jesus Christ. But once Peter caught the vision, he was able to stand with authority and speak truth to power about God's new world order. Brothers and sisters, we are the inheritors of God's great world house that Dr. King wrote about. And it is in this great world house we are all the other, and therefore all the same. There has been a paradigm shift in tradition and religiosity. The great world house is open to all the others who love the Lord, who in the words of Prince and Christ Jesus said, I will die for you. The great world house is open to all the others who are called according to God's purpose and are transformed to newness of life. The great world house is open to all the others who have been saved by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. So open the doors, beloved. There are others who desire to enter in. Welcome.